Good morning. There we are. I was looking for the audio there. Glad everyone's here this morning. If you're watching us online, I want to welcome you this morning, West End Church of Christ. My name's L.R. Kinnon, and this quarter we are studying Lifelong Zeal. This is a book by Philip Shoemake, and it's available in the lobby there. So we are going to look at zeal, what it means in developing zeal. So I will be one of the teachers for this for the quarter. Brian Whiteside is the other teacher. So we have different teaching styles, and I'm sure you'll get used to that, and that's fine. First, we're going to have a prayer. Normally, I want to pick somebody to have a prayer, but this morning I'll do that myself. And I'm glad you're here this morning, so feel free to participate. Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, thank you, Heavenly Father, for waking us up this morning, for the food, clothing, and shelter, and the freedom to worship you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the many, many other blessings you showered upon us. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are sick among us, for those who are ill, and those who are feeble, and we pray that you bless them and help them. Lord, we also pray for those who chose not to be here, whose hearts need to be turned back to the gospel. And we pray that our zeal helps in that sense, and we help develop a zeal in them. We ask for forgiveness of sins, Heavenly Father. You guide us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so since it is a book, there are lesson topics in here. If you haven't studied the first chapter yet, we'll be talking about that one. We will be going by those lesson topics in here. Now, when I teach class, just to let you know, I use a New King James Version. That's the version I teach with. I don't know what Brian uses, but I use a New King James Version. So, and if I use a memory verse, if I quote a verse out of my head, more than likely it's going to be King James, because that's the way I was raised. And it's stuck in there, and that's a good thing. So sometimes you may hear me read something that's New King James, and you quote something that's King James, and I hope I don't confuse anybody in doing that. Just want to let you know. Also, we invite questions and answers and opinions and thoughts. So if you have a question, do this. And one of these gentlemen with a microphone, give them a chance to come to you. They'll come down and they'll hand you a microphone, allow you to speak so the people online can hear you. And so others in this same room can hear you as well. So don't be shy about that, okay? I do encourage you to study each lesson. Because we do have a book, and that will guide us through this. So please do study the lessons, and we do appreciate that. All right? So, books available in the lobby. Already went over that. There we go. This verse. This book, the book does not have this verse in there. This is a verse that I put in here because the verse haunts me. That sounds weird, doesn't it? This verse has haunted me for years, all right? Therefore, I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. This is Apostle Paul speaking here. This verse terrifies me. Why? Why would this verse terrify me? It is. I fail at this. I'll be honest with you, I fail miserably at this. This is why this verse haunts me. It troubles me. The Bible's supposed to prick our hearts, right? Our minds, our conscience. This is a verse that kicks me around a lot. When we're talking about zeal, I think of this verse. Am I doing this? This is something I'm thinking about. Have I declared to others the whole counsel of God? The answer is no, I have not. I have failed miserably in this. Are we innocent of the blood of others? Are there people I got so busy in what I'm doing that I forgot to mention or did not mention the gospel to them? Or I thought, oh, you're so much into the world, you don't want to hear it. I made the judgment. Has that happened? I will tell you, yes, I have done that. I don't want to sugarcoat it. Have I failed others? Yes. All right? In each social encounter that we have, do we have Jesus as the forefront of our thoughts? do we? I'm looking at myself in this. I'm not looking at you. Only you can answer for you. I'm looking at me. I don't always. And there's people I meet every day. There's people I meet every day. Do I always talk to them about Jesus? Or do I get in a hurry? Oh, I'm late for work. I got to get on. Or I got to get this done. Sometimes my small circle of existence overcomes my real purpose. And I got to bring this into my zeal. I got to think about others. So we're going to talk about zeal. We're going to talk about this. Okay? I want you to keep this in mind because this is kind of a mantra statement to me that kicks me around good. And I need that. I need this verse. We need all of them. Okay? So, when we look at zeal, and forgive me, I have allergies, so you'll hear that. So when we look at zeal, we need to look at qualities of developing a healthy zeal. And that's what this course is about. All right? We want to develop a healthy zeal, a mature zeal, grounded in the truth. Many groups claim to have a truth of our doctrine that come from a self-written book or an oath. This is misguided zeal. Misguided zeal is not truth. You know, Nazis, those Nazi soldiers, they had a zeal for winning, but it was not truthful. It was wicked. It was evil. So just because you have zeal doesn't mean it's truthful. We want to have a truthful zeal, truthful to God's word. We want to have a zeal that's not overextended, meaning you get so busy with other things, you get burned out. We don't want to get burned out. We want to make sure we're focused. You know, we're supposed to exhort one another. The Bible talks about exhorting one another. That's part of it. We exhort one another to stay on track. A zeal that doesn't fizzle out. Paul could say what he said in Acts 20, 26 through 27 because he had a mature zeal. He said that verse that I had up there. He could say that truthfully before God because he had a mature zeal. And that's what we're looking for in developing as a Christian. We want to develop a mature zeal in ourselves. And that's what I'm looking for in me in teaching this course. Our textbook on page 5 says, zeal is a burning desire to please God. We want to be pleasing to God. We want to be accepted, right? Zeal is a permanent part of our faith, not a burst from a caffeine cup. I know sometimes I got to have my cup of Joe in the morning to pick me up. That's not what we're talking about. This is a focused, burning desire to please God. As your textbook says, great enthusiasm and pursuit of a cause or objective. You know, during basketball season, I mean, we're in Kentucky, right? In basketball season, man, these UK fans, they have a huge zeal, but that's an emotional zeal. They want to see their team win. I'm not a basketball fan, by the way, but you see that, right? I mean, it's everywhere in Kentucky. That's an emotional zeal. Or you see a kid at Christmas time, all excited about the presents. That's an emotional zeal. Emotional zeal is part of a mature zeal, but it is not the same thing as a mature zeal. Does that make sense? Right? Can an emotional zeal bring somebody to salvation from us? If we have an emotional zeal for the gospel, is that the only thing we need to bring somebody to Christ? No. Give you an example. About 10 years ago, I was trying to talk to a lady about the gospel and wrote her letters, called it, all this stuff, trying to get her to have a Bible study with me. She wrote me back and said, I'm glad that you're so excited about the Bible, but it's not my thing. And she never would reply to me. She went to a nursing home. Her relatives wouldn't tell me. She died. Never obeying the gospel. And I really tried. But a lot of that was emotional zeal. I looked at that now. I was trying to really appeal to her emotionally. And because she didn't know anything of the gospel. Emotional zeal is part of a mature zeal. It is not a mature zeal by itself, okay? Zeal is part of our worship. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our zeal has to be in spirit and truth. It has to be to God's word. As a Christian, we have to do that. That's the way we're going to make this thing work as Christians, right? And oftentimes we say, well, I don't know enough of this, and I don't know enough of that, and don't know this. Our zeal has to be founded in spirit and in truth. Zeal is part of our worship. It's our burning desire to please God, so it has to be in spirit and truth. My desire to bring others to Christ, my zeal to be pleasing to God, has to be grounded in spirit and in truth. We have friends out in the religious world who have a great amount of zeal, but it's not in spirit and truth. Have you seen that? And they come up with all kinds of things about God that's not true. All kinds of things that we hear about. You see it. And they haven't studied God's word, but they have this great zeal of, because it feels good. It's emotional. Zeal is emotional, yes, but it's also logical. And we got to get that mature zeal that Paul was talking about, right? Remember what the Hebrew writer wrote in to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews 5:12 through 14. He says, "For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Right? So we have to realize to be a zealous Christian, we got to be mature. Now, people that are baptized, I've seen tons of people baptized, and they're zealous. They're excited. But we as the mature Christians have to guide them to a mature zeal. That mature zeal like Paul had, where he says that he has done these things. And that's part of our growth as Christians. We got to do that. So not to feel bad, not to dump a weight on all of us, but that's what we have to do. And that helps us mature. All right? We have to realize that to be a proper zealous Christian is to be a maturing Christian, one with a maturing zeal. Okay? So we have to mature in our zeal. We have to grow in that. And how do we mature as a Christian? Study. Who said experience? Yeah, experience. We do, right? It's a verb. We do. We do God's what God says to do, all right? We grow in those things. And we study God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? And we build on that, and we do things. We talk to others, and we grow in that thing. Are we perfect in it? No. But we grow in it, and we lean upon each other and God's word, all right? Maturing helps us discern both good and evil so we can direct our zeal energy in a mature use of further delivering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about, developing a mature zeal, all right? So, I have to look because I don't have the same screen down here. Our study is going to help us, this is from page 4 of your book, build a spiritual fire that doesn't fizzle out. Right? Now, I'm not talking about fatigue. Sometimes we come home from work and we worked hard or we've done something and we're fatigued. We all get that way. We're talking about fatigue in a spiritual sense. We want to avoid spiritual fatigue. Right? Discover 7 steps Jesus used to enhance Peter's zeal and ours too. Remember, Jesus had to enhance Peter's zeal. He had to keep Peter focused. And that was for us too, not just for Peter. And we're going to gain mature understanding from over 400 scriptures in this course. So it is scriptural based. We want to share the good news in an even more compelling manner. Remember, when we talk about this, when we talk about zeal, we don't want it just to be emotional. Emotion is part of it, granted, but we want to be substance-based in Scripture, all right? And share the good news in a more compelling manner. Why should that person obey the gospel? Why should I take the gospel to that person? He doesn't look like, I don't think he would appreciate it because God says to do it. That's why. And that person has a soul. And experience the satisfaction in imitating Jesus' zeal, right? What's the key to a good, mature zeal for a Christian? What's the key to it? It's one word. Well, you're right. I hadn't put that in there, but you're right. What else? Knowledge? How about work? Right? Don't we need to work at it? Which includes everything you guys just said. Don't we need to work at our zeal? Work and feed it? Right? Any of you guys got a hobby? Any of you guys like do things like rebuild cars or anything like that? Any kind of hobby? Okay. When you get a new project, don't you get excited about it? And you can't wait to work on it when you get a chance? That's zeal. So we need to have this excitement about this. And the way we're going to feed this excitement is to study and to talk to others about it. All right? On page 5 of your textbook, the author lists 5 essential qualities that set a Christian's passion apart from enthusiasm. So courage, wisdom, energy, diligence, and loving service. All right? The Bible directly links these traits to zeal. 1 Peter 3:13-17. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. When they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And that's 1 Peter 3:13-17. All right? We worry about harm, what people are going to say to us when we try to bring the gospel to them. Don't worry about being troubled. We take it to God. So we got to have courage. Right? Courage is something that's developed. Right? It's something that we develop. And more mature Christians need to help the younger Christians develop courage. Right? Wisdom. Romans 10:2. For our brethren witness, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. We can see zeal for God out in the world everywhere, but not according to knowledge, not according to truth. There's tons of religious organizations that claim to be teaching God's word, but not to knowledge they're not. And this is where we have to step in with God's word. Help these people direct their zeal that they have towards the truth. All right? Energy. In John 4:34, Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That was Jesus' food, was God's word. That was zeal. Right? That was his energy. Zeal is energy. But we want a mature zeal. Number 4 is diligence. Ezra 7:23 says, whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it diligently be done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and the sons? All right? Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done. I know sometimes I fail in this myself, as I told you before from that verse. I need a kick in the pants too. All right. Number 5, loving service. Romans 12:11. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. All right. So we need to be serving the Lord. Zeal is about serving the Lord, mature zeal. And we got to help others develop their mature zeal. We got tons of young Christians here, all right? So mature zeal is God's zeal. This is on page 6 of your textbook, if you have your textbook. Christian zeal is the courage to exercise great wisdom, great energy, and great diligence and loving service to God. All right? Great wisdom. Where do we get great wisdom from? Where are we going to get it? Right. Well, word and from experience. So these older Christians, I'm not using as an insult, older Christians, can we get a lot from them, younger Christians? Can we learn a lot from them? We can, can't we? We can learn a lot from them. We can gain a lot from them. You know? We can certainly learn a lot. Great energy. Young Christians have a great energy. So the older Christians may have great wisdom. Younger Christians may have great energy. We can put that together and work together and learn, right? And great diligence. Diligence means to stay after something. In loving service in God. All right? So this course that you're engaged in now is designed to help you understand and build a biblical standard of zeal in your faith and ultimately to glorify God. Now, I'm going to tell you, the teacher always learns the most, right? In case you're wondering why I'm leaning over, so I can read this better. But the teacher always learns the most. It's to help you get the zeal to glorify God. God's zeal, from the prophet Isaiah on page 6 in your book, says in Isaiah 9:7 that God would use his zeal to establish the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Zeal, this effort, this desire, this excitement, a mature zeal. Mature zeal means we want to use God's word the way it was designed to bring others to God. An immature zeal is about feeding right now. Mature zeal is about overall long term, about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, order and establishment with judgment and justice. From that time forward and even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Zeal is important. God talks about zeal a great deal. Having zeal for him. Wanting to go out and carry his word out to others. He doesn't say, oh, only people with a lot of talent can have zeal. He doesn't say that. I haven't found that. He doesn't say only people with a lot of talent can have zeal. He says everybody can have zeal in their own way by studying God's word. The zeal of God is all-encompassing. This is referred to as a mantle. You remember in the Old Testament, they talk about the mantle. The prophets would have a mantle. It's like a cloak, right? It's an article of clothing they would wear, and they would be identified by that, right? So we're kind of looking at that mantle, right? The large outer cloak that's very visible and wraps up other wonderful qualities together. That's what zeal does. It's all-encompassing around us. And it puts all these qualities of our Christianity together. It helps us direct this and bring it forward. Yeah, there's going to be times that people turn it down when we take it to others. Just like I told you about the lady that I talked to about 10 years ago. She's passed on now. There's going to be that. But as we mature in our zeal, there's going to be people take notice too. I had somebody come up to me one day years ago and said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." And come to find out, I was talking to a sister in Christ from another congregation. She says, "I could see it." And that made my day. That really made my day. You talk about, it wasn't a prideful thing. It just really uplifted me that someone, that I was doing that, and she recognized it. And then, well, I'm not being puffed up about that. It's not my intention. But that got me 10 more miles down the road, okay? Isaiah 59:17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. And he was clad with zeal as a cloak. These old prophets, they would wear that mantle as a piece of clothing. Cloak. They were cloaked in it. Okay? In 1 Kings 19:19-21. So he departed from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. When Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment, gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he rose and followed Elijah and became his servant. That is zeal. Right? Elisha followed Elijah. And that's always easy to get those two guys mixed up. But he did that. All right? He had that cloak of zeal in him. All right? In 2 Kings chapter 2, 9 through 15. So it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked that sudden a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him up no more. He took off his own clothes and tore them into pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. And when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. We serve a very zealous God. He sent his son to die for us. He could have said no. And would have been right in doing so. God wants us to be like him, to have his characteristics, his zeal for the truth, for his truth, which is truth and righteousness. God desires every Christian to be a zealous Christian, to be on fire for the gospel. It doesn't mean that you are the most well-educated and well-spoken person. We see this mission, instructions, and actions of Jesus. The mission of Jesus in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We see the word zealous used as a description of God's people he desires. And there are four parts in this amazing verse of Titus 2:14. All right? So we see this right here. He purchased you. Jesus purchased every one of us, me too. Despite the fact that Jesus knew he had to go to Calvary and die in agony on a cross, he purchased us with his precious blood. Sinless paying for the sinner. He loves you and came away from that because of an incredible value he placed on you and places on your eternal soul. He gave himself to purchase you. He had zeal. All right? John 15:12-13, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." Let's see. He purified you and purified for himself. Jesus gave purification from our sin-stained condition. He gave us opportunity and the avenue to be purified. The text says Jesus cleanses people like restoring a priceless work of art. In the beginning, God looked at the world and said it's good before sin came in the world. Through Jesus, all of our sins are washed away so we can stand before the Lord and be good. He took possession of you. This is me too. A people for his own possession. We often purchase things we never use because of excess in our culture. The Lord's mission took him beyond payment and purification. When Jesus saved you from your sins and washed away your sins in baptism, you became one of his most prized possessions. Every one of us. We're prized. We're loved. We're desired. We're wanted in heaven. He loves you and admires you to do much. Jesus died for you and wants the best for your future. I have to remind myself of this because I see myself most unworthy. I really do. And I have to remind myself, someone loved me. And to produce a zeal in you, zealous for good deeds, zealous for good works. We need to have a zeal for good works. We want to do these things because we love one another. Right? We want to do these things. If we're friends with somebody and they're in need, we help them. My father passed away here recently. Many of you sent me cards, sent me messages, sent food to the funeral home because you did this for me. Thank you, by the way. You were zealous. You were my brothers and sisters in Christ. You knew I had a need, and you were there because you cared. Thank you again. All right? You were zealous for good deeds. I can't pay you back for that, but I thank you for it. And it's because you had this in your heart. A wonderful thing. All right? This was the mission of Jesus, to purchase, purify, possess you, and make you zealous for good deeds. You people who've done all this for me, you were zealous for good deeds. You showed your Christianity. And I want to tell you, some people who weren't Christians took notice. You glorified God in front of them. I know because they said, made comments to me. You did that. You weren't looking to do that, but you did it through your zeal. Thank you again. Acts 20:28, therefore take heed yourselves unto the flock among the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, a shepherd of the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. Jesus has a major investment in all of us. He purchased us with his own blood. He died for us. He had zeal for us. All right? The instructions of Jesus. All right. Jesus had instructions to guide us in addition to his mission to seek and save the lost. He instructs Christians to be zealous. That means to go out and do things. Now, this doesn't mean that every single one of us has to go beat on doors. Some people aren't able to, but we do other things. Some of you sent me a card, and I know that you're not able to get up and get out and do things, but you sent me a card, and that was doing good works. Thank you. All right? Jesus had instructions to guide us in addition to his mission to seek and save the lost. He gives Christians the direct instruction to be zealous. In Revelation 3:14-19, he tells the lukewarm Laodiceans to stop trusting the comforts of this world and be zealous and repent. He tells them that. He says, I know your works that are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. All right? We can't be lukewarm. We can't sit idly by. We can't warm the bench. All right? He says, therefore, be zealous and repent. And that's in Revelation. Be zealous and repent. We need to get going. And guys, let's be honest. Sometimes we all need a little kick, myself included. Sometimes we all need a good word said, hey, you okay? These instructions are valid to us today as well to the ancient Christians at Laodicea. We can be blinded by wealth and security and get stuck in the rut of routines and be lukewarm. And that happens. You know, you got to go to work, you got bills to pay, and, well, you know, sometimes we forget to look beyond our own circle, but our own feet. You know, I got to wear a size 12. Sometimes I forget to look beyond those size 12s. We can be blinded by these things. Lukewarmness disgusts Jesus. He said to spit it out. He has passion and great love for us, for his sheep. And he commands everyone to come back and be in a zealous relationship with us, with him, excuse me. All right? Actions of Jesus. Jesus is our ultimate example. He says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Actually, Paul said that, excuse me. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ in 1 Corinthians 11:1. In John 2:13-22, the Lord was so consumed by zeal. What did he do? What did he do in John 2:13-22? He was so consumed by zeal in the temple. What did he do? Even a famous song. Yes, sir, he did that. He drove away the livestock and the money changers, returning his temple to a common house of business. He said, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. This is where also he talks about destroy the temple. In 3 days he raised it up, talking about his body. But this is not the only example of zeal that Jesus left us with. We see lifelong zeal and fervent prayer. Prayer is a chance to be zealous. We pray for others, have a list of prayers or things we want to pray about. Praying for other people is a form of zeal. It's not just going out knocking on doors. It's doing things like praying for people, sending them cards, which a lot of you did that this week for me. Thank you. That was a form of zeal. It helped me. It helped me and my family. It impressed others. It impressed some non-Christians in my family. You guys did that this week. That was zeal. Thank you. All right? Fervent prayers and prayers for the lost. Pursuit of his Father's will, even to the point of obedience to his own death, Jesus does this. And Jesus, remember Jesus prayed, "Oh Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Jesus accepted that. His zeal was so strong, he knew if this cup, that he would have to take it and go with it. He didn't know, nobody wants to die. But Jesus understood that, right? Our textbook refers to 1 John 2:6, which instructs, it says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself to also walk as he had walked." We need to walk like Jesus. We need to walk where we're self-sacrificing for others. Guys, to be honest with you, I'm preaching this to me this morning. I'm teaching this to me this morning. I'm the one that's trying to get the most out of this. So, the Bible shows Jesus having great zeal. We as his disciples walking in footsteps must do that also. You know, the word disciple means to follow in the footsteps of another. That's what it means. So we ain't got to follow in his footsteps and do those things. God desires us not only to be zealous, but also equips us with zeal. One reason we sing is not just to glorify God, but to build and support our burning zeal for the Lord. Mark Pape and I had a conversation several years ago about singing. And he says, and I remember Mark saying, singing isn't just to glorify God. God is building up zeal in us. He's building up us by singing. He built us. He manufactured us. He knows how we work. He knows we need this singing. And it always impressed me when Mark talked to me about that. God's instructions are not just rules to follow, but wisdom imparted to direct us a more spiritually minded and enjoyable life. All right. Think on these verses. Isaiah 37:32. This is in the last part of the chapter of your text, the workbook, if you're following along. It's near the end of it. Okay? "For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." What do we learn from God's zeal on this? This is participation time. What do we learn from this? Don't we all benefit from this verse? That remnant? Those people who came out of Jerusalem and spread the gospel, didn't we all benefit from this? "The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout out. He shall prevail against his enemies." Isaiah 42:13. All right? Like a man of war. You look at these old, some of you guys around in World War II remember all the stuff you would see in the movie theaters about buy bonds and do all this stuff from World War II. Right? Anytime a nation's at war, it has to build up support in its population. Build this up. We're at war with the enemy of wickedness. "He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war." We should have zeal like that. Our zeal is against an enemy, Satan, and his devices. We don't want anybody to fall away. Remember the first verse I showed? Paul had a clear conscience. "He shall prevail against his enemy." God is going to win this in the end. God is going to win. That's a given. We know that. What are we doing? Where's our zeal? Where's our part in this? "Look down from heaven and see your habitation, holy and glorious. Where your zeal and your strength, the yearning of your heart and mercy toward me, are they restrained?" Zeal is strength. It's a strength, a spiritual strength. It's to get up and do things. You guys had a zeal this morning because you're here. You wanted to hear God's word. You wanted to study God's word. You wanted to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why you're here, right? That's why we're here. You have a zeal for that. it's hard sometimes for us to take our zeal into the world because we're going to get slapped in the face. I understand that. I understand that. Believe me. That's the tough part. That's where the rubber meets the road, right? Rubber meets the road when we're trying to talk to others. Remember, I told you about the lady I met, and she said, "You're Christian." Be honest with you, I wasn't expecting that comment from her. She said, "You're a member of the church." She told me this. She says, "I can see it." That made me feel good because I really do try to carry myself in society wherever I go to glorify God. And I know you do too. But that really picked me up, gave me a good extra 10 miles to go down the road on. All right? It gave me zeal by her recognizing that, giving me that compliment. Ezekiel 5:13, "And thus my anger shall be spent, for I cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be avenged. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal, which I have spent my fury upon them." God has zeal for us. He gave us his son. He gave us a plan of salvation. He has zeal, righteous zeal. He works for us. He fed us. He gave us clothes. He brought us here. Right? He has a zeal for every one of us. "Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people," Joel 2:18. He pities his people. God has mercy on us. He has zeal for us to follow his way and his will, but he also has mercy on us. That's a wonderful thing. Zealous people in the Bible often have little in common outside their love for God. Guys, everybody in this building is different. We have different needs and wants and such. Every one of us are different. We have one thing in common is a zeal for God, our love for God, our being a Christian. Considering John 2:13 and 12. Look at these zealous people from the Bible. That didn't show up too good, did it? Sorry about that. Jesus had a zeal. Yes?
I really appreciate your emphasis on what zeal causes. It causes action. And I think the Laodiceans are a kind of a frightening comparison because Christians tend to define ourselves by what we do not do. You know, we don't, you know, drink, smoke, do drugs, cuss, whatever. That's how we tend to define ourselves. But what I think the challenge of this book is to define yourself in a new way. By what you do, what you accomplish. You know, when we talk about what God did was, you know, reveal a plan of salvation and enact a plan of salvation over centuries because of his zeal for us, because of his love for us, when we read in John 3:16. And so for us to mimic that, we have to love. And I thought that was such a great comment. That love, to me, is the root of zeal. Loving others, and that causes you to have action on their behalf.
And exactly right. Love is the root of these things. We want to do these things. We want others to obey the gospel. We want to share what we got. You know? Remember, Jesus went in the temple and drove out the money changers and overturned the tables. He didn't do that because of hatred. He was angry, yes, but he did this because he wanted to focus what his Father's house was about. He wanted to focus this. You know, he didn't call the temple a building. He called it my Father's house. And it was his zeal wanting to do what's right for God, the Father. He wanted to lead people to God, the Father. He wanted to glorify God, the Father, and also bring people's lives in connection with God, the Father. You know, it personalizes the zeal that Jesus had. That's in John 2:13-22. He and the Father are one. To the Christian, offense against God should be an offense against us. All right? That doesn't mean I'm talking about being judgmental. But it does mean that we should be aware of these things. All right. Had more to say, but that's good. Thank you all for being here this morning. Wednesday night we will do chapter 2, and I appreciate your questions and your comments.